Tomorrow, the sun will come out. Tomorrow. Alright, we're here again. Beautiful day out. The sun is out, baby. Spring is here. At least it's starting to pop its little head out. Had a beautiful day yesterday. Today looks like another one. Just got this excitement in my blood. I feel it in my plums. Just like we're at the start of something huge. So much opportunity in front of us lies ahead. The most opportunity that's ever been able to be realized in history. You can literally make history, right? And that's what we're doing, is making history. Literally. Grab the bull by the horns, literally. So, this one's gonna be about what I'm gonna call NFCs, right? And not those little chips, right? This is gonna be related to NFTs. Because those NFTs are so damn freaking hot right now. Could wrap them in some tinfoil. Take a shit, wrap them in some tinfoil, and sell them to the Queen of England as earrings, right? So, I like the concept. Kind of silly, obviously, in some regards, but it's getting at, like most things in this space, it's capturing something, right, that's going to be in our future, whether or not it's the best implementation of it and all that. It's tapping into something that the universe wants to see, and is going to be manifesting in a huge way in these next 5 to 10 years, as the entire economy, or at least the meat and potatoes of it, shifts to a digital economy, right? And, you know, that's why you might call yourself an economist, and you might, you know, like this fucking, these idiots, right? And you might write for some ancient newspaper and have some degrees, but in my book, you ain't no economist if you're blind to the real economy. Where's the digital economy's calculation in GDP? You're literally missing what is becoming and absolutely will be the primary component. So there's plenty of room for economists, but I don't see the motherfuckers. I mean, I see them. Some of them are out there. They're analyzing real metrics and statistics and all that related to the real economy, the blockchain. The various blockchains, Bitcoin is king, obviously, and you know, those are the real economists as far as I'm concerned. And to sort of jump into a quick tangent before we get into the NFCs, right? So I've been getting into a bit of testnet stuff, reg test stuff, looking into learning about the mechanics of the Bitcoin blockchain and all of its various, you know, copycats, how it really works underneath the hood. I want to start getting into the actual peer-to-peer network and all that jazz. You know, we got into digital signatures and encryption, which was a huge and necessary component to a lot of things that brought about our system of notifications, using the cloud chain as a communications mechanism. And soon we're also going to get into encoding in general and as it applies to us, because that's, you know, you learn it generally and then you take what you need, right? But this year is going to be more about the big question, right? One cloud chain, and I know it's on everyone's mind, but be patient. This is huge, this stuff. So as I said a while back, time is on our side. Things are only going to move in our favor. And I think that's kind of proved out, right? I don't know. I haven't really been following the censorship stuff. Has that proved out? But, and further, bringing it back to NFTs, you're starting to see that the universe is grasping at something. So I'm trying to bring everything together, right? With our little project here, our little LARP called the Truth Social Network. And, you know, bear with me, a bit of allergies as we turn seasons. But so I want to just talk to you on this quick tangent, right? I guess we're adding a point to itself, right? And reflecting it. So taking a quick tangent here to testnet, like, you call yourself an economist. Explain to me this shit. This shit might be the most fascinating shit I've ever read. I mean, I forget if I read about it in Mastering Bitcoin or just reading about testnet in general, but essentially they've had to recreate three different testnets, and who knows, there'll probably be more, because motherfuckers just keep mining the fucker and increasing the difficulty, and they have to bring it back, so because people keep they have to keep restarting it because people keep mining it, and other people want to value the fucking testnet tokens because people keep mining it. So just like, it's unfathomable, that concept, and it's been under the radar. So call yourself an economist. You could give me a fucking 10 academic papers on that shit, but as it applies to me, it's just grasping at the universe it's grasping at how hash power is a commodity itself, right? And it tells me a lot, which we could do a whole separate ADJ about, how there's value in hash power in and of itself. And so obviously, applying that to us, it shows how we could be changing some of the big aims of mining, right? Some of the big purposes or incentives. And think about, juxtapose that shit with the fact that the block subsidy in Bitcoin is slowly going away, obviously, in terms of, you know, the block reward. Obviously, fees are going to increase, but, you know, if you bring in merge mining with the TSN, you could be adding a whole new industry of a whole separate aspect to mining, and take into account that we've already passed the point where it's economical to create more and more efficient machines. Now it's all about access to cheap power, right? So it's about how many machines you got and all that stuff, all that good stuff. So in other words, when everyone has a miner in their library, you know, comparing it to the internet, and then eventually everyone has, you know, an ASIC miner in their home powered by their solar panel, right? And there's no block reward part of the subsidy, relatively speaking, maybe we could, maybe maybe we're gonna miners are gonna be primarily be mining, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of cloud chains, and they'll merge mine Bitcoin. You know, in other words, those will all be the parent chains, and Bitcoin will be the child chain in 20 years, right? Or 10 years or 5 years, whatever it is, because they need the global settlement layer of Bitcoin. And you know, how does that contribute to scaling Bitcoin, right? This could essentially solve the scaling problem. Or, you know, nothing solves scaling, but contribute largely to aiding it, right? Because a lot of the consensus is offloaded to these various cloud chains. And then you have the digital gold for huge, you know, if Bitcoin transaction fees are $4,000, you know, way down the line, as the dollar completely dies, maybe everyone's going to be using their cloud chains, and, you know, nation states are going to be using Bitcoin, and when you have huge transactions, then they shift to Bitcoin, right? And they're just all, it's all sort of interoperable, but I digress, right? So, I like to think about the big picture. The world has been is changing at a pace faster than ever seen before. We are in the midst of a second Great Depression, but it exists in, you know, 100 years later. So you're much better off if you're living in this one than in 1920, when everyone has access to the global economy and the global internet with a basic phone, right? And, you know, food production and all that is done by machines, and you can get into technological deflation and all that. But the point is, in crisis presents huge opportunity. So I think what emerges out of this second Great Depression is the biggest opportunity any person who's ever lived on this planet has ever seen. And in other words, out of this, basically the universe wants to make everyone fucking rich through technological deflation. And you're seeing this in some regards with the first with the stimulus check, and, you know, people can say what they want, but it's socialism, it's this, it's that. And I am certainly a free markets guy and a capitalist, not a crony capitalist, but just taking a step back and out of our own biases and thinking about technological deflation, the way I see it is the universe wants to make everyone rich, and it has wanted such for a long time. And the only reason it hasn't happened is because of the elites, or lack thereof, right? They shouldn't be called elites. They should just be called rent fucking seekers. Although, we won't get into that. But the point is, this technological deflation has only been bottlenecked, not via a lack of progress in technology or anything like that, but due to these motherfuckers wanting to stay in power. And those days are over, my friends. It's never been more clear than ever before. And it should be real interesting to see what these fucking pieces of shits... Oh, man. Let's not get it... Let's see how those lockdowns work when things start getting nice out this time around. Let's see how those proclamations work with, you know, and those who think they own us, all the kings, like, you know, the Michigan governor and, you know, little Andy Cuomo. thought he hit a home run, landed on first base, right? Well, he's not having too good of a time right now. And, you know, don't want to take a turn down that road, but everyone's innocent until proven guilty and all that. But in reality, with these things, it's usually much worse, and you're just getting a taste. You're just getting a taste because they're not going to talk about the real stuff, but that's a whole conversation for a different day, right? But the point is, if you're gonna prevent people from living their life and going to a fucking restaurant or bar, whatever it is, you might not have such a good go at it this time around. I don't think Universe is gonna be too supportive of that. But anyway, the only thing that stopped us is these motherfucking psychopaths. And if you lose control over the money, you lose control over everything. So their days are over. They ended a long time ago, but the motherfucking potential energy is just now turning into kinetic energy. And everyone knows it, and everyone's starting to know that everyone knows it, and everyone's starting to know that everyone starting to know that everyone knows it. And keep your eyes on that scoreboard. So the deal with the Truth Social Network is I just want to make everyone fucking rich, and I think the universe is going to support that. Now, again, I am a capitalist and free markets guy. Really, I don't know if that's what I am. I'm just a reality acknowledger that meritocracy, you know, differences in ability exist, and we must acknowledge them as so. Doesn't mean that if everyone could have a machine to grow a farm and land near them, we can't have everyone eating food at a bare minimum and have good hot water eventually and stuff like that. But there will be still meritocracies, because meritocracies favor everyone. And the point of money is for it to, and capital, is for it to find itself with the people who can do the most with it for everyone else, right? And so the universe is saying, current people who have that capital, or, you know, used to have it, now they still haven't fucking realized that they've lost it all. If you have no Bitcoin, you have no money right now. And even if you have a little bit of Bitcoin, then the rest of your percentage of net worth is basically short Bitcoin. The universe is saying, no, I don't think you have that capital, because capital is allocated by the market now. It's not allocated by your cronies and cantillons and, you know, your fucking mafia, like, pull the ladder up from society at the expense of everyone's technological progress. What was I saying? The market ain't giving you capital no more, my friends. So we're moving into a world where everyone's gonna be allowed to do whatever the fuck they want, as long as you're not fucking hurting anyone else. And it's that simple. Is it a utopia? No. Gonna be plenty of problems. We like to fight with each other, it's in our nature, but it's really a much simpler and better world, right? And, you know, again, there will be complexities and new set of problems, but nonetheless, it's an exciting time to be alive, to see what that's going to look like when the nerds own all the money. and we're here. So I'm trying to make everyone fucking rich. I don't know, is that something you'd be interested in? I'm not sure. I don't know if that's something you'd be interested in, but you know, if I told you I had a big dick, is that something you'd be interested in? What was that from? Fucking Entourage, right? So that's what we're gonna do, and it's gonna happen at its own rate as it needs to, and it's gonna happen by doing it through the Truth Social Network. It introduces meritocracy and truly free markets into the equation of allocating capital. So to the Bitcoin maxis and all that, I get it. We had to take a certain path. We couldn't have done any of this if Bitcoin wasn't king. It's always going to be king. And it's always going to be the most decentralized, because you're never going to be able to fucking change it. And that's how it needs to be. And I get we're scarred from, you know, our history, which was necessary to make Bitcoin what it is, which can make open up all these other opportunities. But if you want to just pretend that there's nothing else to this, you know, you could learn about that on your own hide. So Bitcoin has already won. I was talking about before the coronavirus how it was going conservatively over 500,000. Things have changed. Now the dollar is effectively dying in front of our eyes, and as it should. And there's a race of corporations to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet, and we'll see what we've seen the first few. They each have to put in more money than the last to get less Bitcoin than the last, and imagine how that spread's gonna change as after the first couple, the next 10 companies, and then the next 10 after that. So there is a race right now, make no mistake about it. The people in the race are fucking pulling their pants up and frantically moving the smart ones to be companies 4 through 10, because 4 through 10 are going to be that much insanely better off than 11 through 20. So none of that was incorporated in my... I was just figuring this is the next cycle. Of course, you know, there's always good news and bad news, but the market moves in cycles. But occasionally you get some fundamental changes. So these are some things that tell me this is the last cycle, absolutely. That doesn't mean there's not going to be huge volatility, and it doesn't mean there's markets always move in the manner they do. So, you know, could there be another 80% correction? I don't see it. If it happens, it's going to be because, you know, the market, for instance, right now we're at 57,000 as I'm recording this. Someone wants to buy, if one company wants to go all in on Bitcoin, they could push the price to from 57,000 to 600,000 within a couple of weeks. So if that happens, in other words, if someone says, fuck it, I'm going to be the smart company because I know the herd is behind me. Sure, then you could get an 80% correction because the market went much higher than it should have in small amounts of time. But boy, oh boy, like, was it even trading there? If it went to 600,000, you know, for a couple days or a week, and then it pulls back to 200,000, and the market had not seen 200,000 until like right before that, and then it kind of stabilizes before the next leg up. So the point is, this is the last cycle, and Bitcoin is going to $100 million easily, eventually, within the next five years, 10 years. And the timing is not important. It's like, or it's going to effectively where there will be no reason to trade your Bitcoin for dollars. So what price is that? I don't know. Is that 100 million or is that 300 million? Or is it like we just stop paying attention to fake prices because there's literally nothing, no reason to convert it. Anyway, everything has a price in Bitcoin, right? That's where we're going. So to wrap part one up, because we didn't even get into the topic du jour, right? I want Bitcoiners to really think deeply about the fact that Bitcoin has won, but the mission has just started. So we're going to millions of dollars this year in Bitcoin and all the numbers you ever imagined. So when we get there, and still at those prices, half the world or more, a lot, you know, whatever it is, has zero Bitcoin, there's going to be a lot of talented people in that pool who just didn't get a chance. So the game doesn't end with Bitcoin winning, which it already has and we are witnessing. And how are we going to get capital to all those incredible, to all the, you know, the needles in the haystack of everyone who doesn't have Bitcoin when Bitcoin is hundreds of millions of dollars? So I like to think far out, but the point is there's going to be plenty of talented people, and I think I'm trying to solve the problem of meritocratically or capitalistically giving us a way to invest in them, right? So let's wrap it up here for part one, and then we're going to jump into NFCs in part two, which are decentralized NFTs, right? Non-fungible tokens. Peace.